Edith, are you here?
Okay, I'm looking at a lot of blank screens with names, so I'm going to ask you to turn on your video cameras for just a minute so we can see all
Yeah.
the. All right.
Does that
Okay, that
look
just makes
like
me
it
feel
works?
better. It makes me feel like I'm talking to real people and not computer screens. So you don't have to keep your cameras on for the whole meeting, but it's nice to see all of you. And again, welcome to this meeting. I'm glad you were able to join us today. My name is Pete Jutras. I am the director of the Hugh Hodgson School of Music. And it's my great pleasure to host this meeting. I kind of wish we weren't in the circumstances we're in with the things we need to talk about, but I know there's a lot of questions on everyone's mind, and I hope this can help give you some information about what's going to happen in the fall. And of course, understand that that's a work in progress as news continues to evolve. I just want to go over a couple of ground rules where you've all had lots of experience on Zoom by now, I'm sure, but we're going to mute everybody while we talk through some information. I want to thank Dr. Connie Frigo, our professor of saxophone, for helping to facilitate the technical side of this meeting. She's going to be moderating the chat. And if you have questions, I'm going to ask you to please put them in the chat. I expect to present information for about 45 minutes or so. And then when that's over, we're going to go through and try to answer all the questions in the chat as best we can. And if there's anything we can't answer, we're going to note it and try to answer it later if it's something we need to do some investigating on. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, which is going to have some basic information for you. Give me a second to get that started. Okay, so like I said, welcome to this meeting. I'm glad to see all of you, and I'm glad you were able to take the time to join us today. Obviously, this is a world that we don't necessarily want to be in and that we didn't expect. Now, most of you are first-year students, so you probably weren't here in March when we shut everything down. When we did, I think we all thought that surely by late summer things would be back to normal. We'd be rescheduling some of the concerts we canceled and getting ready for a great year. We did not expect the virus to kind of resurge during the summer, and of course, you all see the news and you know all about that. So unfortunately, the cases are higher than we would like, the increases are higher than we would like, and we're still very much dealing with COVID-19. The University of Georgia, as I'm sure you're well aware, is planning to open. We're planning to go ahead with face-to-face instruction, but it will be modified greatly to keep everyone safe. And what I'm here to talk to you about today is specifically what we're doing in the School of Music. And I have two priorities, and they are in a very specific order. And the first priority, above all, is the safety and health of all of you, of our staff, of our faculty, and of the community around us. In my humble and personal opinion, there is no acceptable risk when it comes to safety and health. I don't want anyone to contract the virus because of things we're doing in our building. I don't want anyone to spread it to a single person in their family or in their circle of influence. So most of the information that you're going to hear today are things we're doing to try and keep the building safe and keep all of you safe. Once we can do that, our goal is to do as much music making as we can. And I'm going to be honest, we're not going to be able to make music in all the normal settings that we're used to, but we are going to try and prioritize what we can do safely. I know that's why we're here. I know that's what you're all passionate about, and we want to make as much of that po as possible as we can. We do have to acknowledge that there are risks unique to music making. And this is where the information you might hear kind of about general academic classes at the university is going to be different from some of the things we need to do in the building specifically risks associated with the air that we move around when we play wind instruments and brass instruments and when we sing. And I'll talk more about that as we go through. All of our guidelines, we've been working hard all summer. It's actually been a very long, long summer with a lot of listening and a lot of conversations and a lot of looking at research. There are a lot of opinions out there about the virus. I am doing everything I can to collect scientific evidence, to talk to doctors, researchers, epidemiologists, aerosol experts, and not go on opinion, but go on what we actually know and understand. And any good researcher or doctor in this environment will tell you that we don't know everything about the virus. Nobody does. And be very wary of someone who claims to know everything about the virus. I just want you to know that our guidelines and our plan is based largely on guidance from Johns Hopkins University. And of course, they are one of the finest medical schools in the world, but they also are advising one of the top music conservatories in the world. So that's a good source. There are some ongoing studies about music playing and aerosol transmission. One in particular is happening at University of Colorado Boulder in conjunction with University of Maryland. We're listening to what they have to say about playing wind instruments and singing. I talk regularly. It's been once a week lately with directors of schools of music from across the country. We have a big group that gets together on Zoom so we can learn about what we're hearing from different experts and guidelines that we're implementing. And as I mentioned, I've been talking to doctors and epidemiologists and people concerned with workplace safety. And so the guidelines that you're going to hear about in the next few minutes come from this advice. And it's what we believe are the best practices right now to keep us safe. I am not dogmatic about any of this. So as new research or information becomes available, I'm perfectly willing to change our guidelines if necessary to keep people safe. Or maybe we get more research that some of the things we've restricted aren't risky and we can open them back up again. Forgive me, I'll try not to make this too long or too boring, but I just want to give you a 2-minute discourse on something we've been talking about a lot with respect to music making and the virus, and those are droplets and aerosols. I never thought as a pianist and as a music educator I'd become an expert on droplets and aerosols, and maybe I'm not an expert, but I've learned a lot. When you hear people talk about droplets, these are particles that come out when we breathe. A lot of them come out when we cough and when we sneeze. They come out when we talk. They can carry the virus and they can transmit the virus. They tend to be fairly heavy with respect to the air around them, which means that they fall to the ground pretty quickly, and they generally don't travel more than 6 feet. So this is why you hear about keeping a 6-foot distance all the time. That's to kind of keep you away from droplets that someone else might be expelling. We know that masks are very effective at stopping droplets and preventing the spread. And we know that 6-foot distancing is a factor that mitigates risk. What we've been learning a lot about over the last 2 or 3 weeks is aerosol particles. Aerosol particles are smaller. And they can hang in the air for much longer periods of time. So where the droplets fall to the ground and don't travel very far, the aerosols can build up in a room and they can stay in the air for a while. We know that the virus can attach itself to aerosol particles. What's not clear right now in all the evidence I've heard is how likely it is that the virus is transmitted through aerosols. Because they're smaller particles and because we know that you need the virus in some sort of concentration to contract it. All the advice that I'm hearing is until we understand otherwise, we have to act as if aerosols do transmit the virus because we just don't know if they do or they don't. So we need to take a path of safety. Because these are expelled more when we play wind instruments and brass instruments without a mask or we sing without a mask, because they build up in the air, those are specific things that we're concerned about in the School of Music, and we want to do everything we can to make sure that we are safe. So the research is ongoing. Like I said, it's still a work in progress. At Johns Hopkins, they talk about four pillars of risk mitigation that are essential: masking, hygiene, distancing, and air exchange. And I just want to talk about those very briefly. Masking, I mean, every day I learn more and more about how effective masking is and how well it works. All the doctors and everybody I talk to are saying if we all just wore masks all the time, we would go a long way towards stopping the spread of this. University System of Georgia, which is the body that oversees UGA, has mandated that masks are to be worn indoors on campus at all times. The only time you're allowed to take your mask off is what I'm doing right now. I'm in my office in the School of Music, but the door is closed and it's only me in here. So with the door closed and no one else, I can take my mask off. But I have my mask right here. I actually have two with me. And if someone were to knock on the door and want to talk to me, I'd put my mask on. If I'm going to go out in the hallway, go to any of the classrooms, I'm going to put my mask on. Forgive me for sounding a little bit like a dad. I've earned that right because I have two teenage boys, one of whom is going off to college this fall, like all of you. I would really encourage you to practice wearing your mask. Get used to wearing it for 2 or 3 hours at a time. That will allow you to see what kind of mask you like. You know, there are different kinds of masks, and you might find one more comfortable to wear for a long time. It's better to find that out now than when you arrive on campus. And I'd also encourage you, UGA is going to provide you with two masks, but I'd encourage you to have multiple masks that you bring to campus. Carry a spare with you if one gets dirty. You may not be able to wash them every day, so having a decent supply will help you get through this. Personal hygiene is just washing your hands frequently, sanitizing your hands. We are adding hand sanitizer stations all through our building, so you'll be able to do that without going in the restroom. So we're not increasing a lot of traffic in the restroom, but just constantly wash your hands. So masking and hygiene are things that you can control as students. The things that we can control here in the building are distancing and air exchange. So when there's going to be any playing of wind or brass instruments or any singing, we're going to maintain a minimum of 20 feet of distance. That's a lot of space, and that's not going to allow us to have very big groups together, but it's going to help keep people safe. So if there's going to be a trumpet lesson that happens face to face, you're going to be in a larger room, you're going to be 20 feet from your instructor. Air exchange and just what's happening with the air around us is also something we can control. So when we're playing wind and brass instruments or singing, we're going to use only our large spaces. Lessons will not happen in the usual studios, but they'll happen in the band rehearsal hall and the orchestra rehearsal hall and our auditoriums and spaces like that, where there's a lot more air that can circulate. We're going to limit the time exposure to 30 minutes. There's some very interesting research that shows within 30 minutes, the buildup of aerosols is not very risky at all. But when you get into 45 and 60 minutes, there starts to be a much higher concentration of them in a room. So live lessons and live playing on these instruments will be limited to 30 minutes. And we're going to limit the number of players at one time. If it's any of these instruments not wearing a mask while they're playing. I should add while I'm here that there are several instruments, and many of you may fall in this category, where you can keep your mask on while you play. So piano and percussion and string instruments and harp and guitar. So those lessons, you'll keep your mask on and we won't have to keep the 20-foot distancing. We're still going to do 8 feet or so. The researchers are saying that outdoor is much safer because there's kind of an infinite exchange of air outdoors and you don't get the buildup that you do in indoor spaces. I hope that we'll be able to do some music making outdoors. Obviously, that's dependent on the weather. So right now we're looking at outdoor options as kind of a bonus. If we get to do them, that's great, and we'll do them. It's not a strategy we can rely on every day, but that might let us get a few more small chamber groups together to do things outdoors. So my areas of focus, like I said before, my top priority is to keep everyone as safe as possible. Like I said, one, death is in no way acceptable from this situation. One, hospitalization is in no way acceptable. So we are doing everything we can to try and keep conditions safe. And it's important that we also contribute to the safety of the world around us. We need to do our part to stop the spread. If everybody can do this, hopefully we can get a hold of this and the numbers can go down and we can get back to normal sooner rather than later. You hear a lot about triage in times like this, and it might be becoming a cliche, but in a triage situation, you look at where you can provide the most attention that's the most valuable. And so given these conditions, what we're focusing on right now is preserving space for individual lessons and solo recitals to go forward as normal. Those are the safer activities because there's fewer people playing at a time, and we can set up this distancing without it being too disruptive. We're not going to be able, and I'll give you some details as we go, we're not going to be able to convene our large ensembles like we normally do. It's just too many people in too small of a space with too much air circulating. So we're going to refocus and say, what can we preserve? And that starts with your applied lessons and these recitals, so they can happen in a live fashion. Hopefully conditions improve and we start to build back up and do, say, starting with smaller chamber groups that are safe, and then small to medium sized ensembles. And we will, at some point, conditions will improve where we'll find a vaccine that will allow us to get back to doing all the things we do. Okay, so I want to tell you a little bit about what class instruction will be like. And so these are your kind of, we call them academic classes, things like music theory and music history and oral skills. This is going to happen to all your classes university-wide. All our rooms are set up for 6-foot distancing. We've gone in, we've measured, we've moved desks, we've removed desks and tables. So there'll be some distance between you and your other students. That means that not everyone will fit in the room like they normally do. So a lot of your classes are going to be on what's called a high flex model. And that means there'll be some people online one day and some people in the classroom. And then the next day, maybe those groups will rotate, or maybe your class is split into 3 groups that rotate. All of our faculty are working very hard to prepare content that will be meaningful and productive for both the people who are online and the people in class. So prepare for a mix of kind of online and in-person instruction in your classes. All class times have been adjusted, so we've added 5 minutes to the break between each class period. If you're a first-year student, this probably doesn't matter to you too much because you're not used to our schedule yet. For those of us that have been here a while, that means each class is an extra 5 minutes later than the one before us. So like 3 classes in is now 15 minutes later than it used to be. 4 classes in is now 20 minutes later than it used to be. Go to the registrar's website, you'll see the schedule of classes there, and you'll know when your classes are gonna meet. And then you've probably heard this, but just so everyone's aware, the university is planning to move all instruction online after Thanksgiving break. So when we go home for the Thanksgiving holiday, we're gonna stay home. Doesn't mean the semester's over, but your classes are gonna finish out with online instruction, just so we're not bringing a lot of people back from a lot of varied geographic locations for a short time. Okay, let me talk a little bit about our ensembles. So the folks at Johns Hopkins are recommending that we limit any ensemble to 10 people or less. This includes people who are able to leave their masks on. We are looking at some of the other research about singing and winds and brass, and we're limiting those activities to 5 people or less. To be honest, there probably won't be a lot with five people. We'll probably do more things like duos and trios when we can do them. Our bands and our choirs this semester are going to be fully online classes. Those instructors are going to, they're working hard. They've got some interesting things that they're going to do. It's not going to be, hey, let's all try to see if we can play together over Zoom. That doesn't work so well, and we're not going to try to pretend that it does. But we're going to explore other important topics about being a music major and skills that you can work on in an online class that will be useful. So we're excited about what they're planning, and they're working hard at having some good things for all of you to work on. If you're a string player, it's a little easier because you can wear a mask, and our university orchestra is going to rehearse in groups of 10. We're going to set up basically a double quartet with two bass players. So if you are a string player, you will be able to have an orchestra rehearsal once a week with your group of 10. And if conditions allow, we might be able to put those groups together outdoors towards the end of the semester for a concert. For now, most of our medium size ensembles are not going to happen. Again, just because of concerns about safety and space. We might explore options for them to happen outdoors as conditions allow, but that would be not a semester long class, but a, you know, hey, we're going to get together for a couple weeks and do a few pieces outdoors. I know this is disappointing to some. It's very disappointing to me. We actually had big plans for our ensembles this year. We were going to perform Beethoven 9. We were maybe going to perform that again at the Georgia Theater. We had a performance with Kishibashi planned, and it's painful to postpone those. But again, conditions are just not going to allow for this to happen safely indoors, and we want to make sure everyone stays safe and healthy. Okay, I'm going to stop talking for a minute and turn things over to Dr. Amy Pollard. Dr. Pollard is one of our many fantastic faculty members, and you'll get to know her. She is professor of bassoon, but she is also associate director for performance. So she oversees a lot of things relating to applied lessons and recitals and all those things. And she's going to talk you through a little bit about what lessons and recitals will look like.
Hey everyone, good morning, thanks for being here. I just wanna let you know that one of the most important things that we can do this semester is to make sure that we have really good communication. So please read your emails and respond to them in a timely fashion. Be in contact with your applied professor and you know, just try as much as you can to be flexible. This situation is gonna change a lot as the semester goes on and as things continue to develop. So thank you for your patience with that. So there's two different kind of categories of lessons. There are those that are lower risk, so composition, guitar, harp, percussion, piano, and strings. All of those are going to occur fully masked. So you as a student will be masked and your applied professor will be masked the entire time. There's going to be 6 to 8 foot distancing, so these will likely occur in your professor's studios, and there'll be a 50-minute time limit for your lesson. After that, there'll be 30 minutes in between lessons for the possible aerosols to kind of settle. So those won't be that different. Some things to think about is that you're going to need to bring your own stands, you're going to need to bring your own music, and we're just trying to limit the amount of contact as much as we can during those. For brass, winds, and voice, those are which, you know, we're expelling a lot of air naturally. Those are going to be a little bit more challenging. So these are only going to occur in large spaces. So there has to be 20 feet of distancing. You need to remain masked as much as possible. So when you're not playing, you'll have to replace your mask, and same thing with your teacher. These are going to have a 30-minute time limit, and then there's going to be a vacancy of 60 minutes in between them so that, again, the aerosols can disperse. And since those are going to produce a larger amount, that's what accounts for the larger time. We're also looking into bell covers on instruments, and so more information on that will follow, so hang tight. Due to the schedule and the large number of students in the school, lessons may only happen once every 2 to 3 weeks. They might be on nights, they might be on weekends. And the remaining lessons that you have would be online. And I know it's really frustrating, but we're trying to do whatever we can so that you can have some in-person instruction if you wish. So all students, regardless of what your instrument is, may opt to have online only lessons. So if you're uncomfortable with this and you're like, okay, there is more risk in this than I am willing to take on, totally fine. So regardless of your instrument, talk to your applied professor and just let them know that you would like for everything to be online. Or if you want to do a couple in person and the rest online, you can work out a system with them. And your professor as well, with this high flex system that we're doing, might only be teaching a couple lessons in person and doing the rest online. So this is why it's really important to make sure that you're in contact with them and that you are you're being flexible with the situation as well, but just make sure that you communicate your wishes to them. That's really important. Oh, there we go. So yeah, bring your own music stand. If you are a brass player, you need to bring a towel to collect condensation from your instrument. You're not going to dump that on the floor. And then those of you who are going to be working with pianists, either vocalists or instrumentalists, prepare to have less time with your pianist than normal, right? So, you know, important to remember that our pianists are people too. They aren't robots. So we need to respect their exposure to the virus as well. So those will be limited to 30 minutes in large spaces, etc. Okay, then student recitals. This might not apply to a lot of you since, you know, most of you are incoming freshmen, but we are going to try to hold degree recitals and others as possible. So those of you who might be interested in doing an elective recital, if space is possible, we will do that. These are going to be limited to two performers in Edge Hall, which is our smaller recital hall. And again, the same distancing and time limits apply. So if you are a wind or brass or voice student, then you're going to have less time for your recital and a longer space in between. If you are string or piano, you will have a little bit more time that you can use. There won't be any public audiences. So your major professor being there is okay. Maybe one to two immediate family with advance permission from the administration. All recitals are going to be streamed, which is great because that means that you can listen to all of these recitals from the comfort of your pajamas, which is great. Usually we have a recital attendance fee, and as music majors and minors, you're required to attend 15 events throughout the semester. This semester, we're not going to have that, and you don't know how exciting that is for most students, but it is. So there's also no fee for recital streaming, but there still will be recording fees for that.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Pollard. And again, I know that you probably have a lot of questions that might be arising, and feel free to put those in the chat and we will answer those a little bit later in the meeting. So I'd like to introduce another fantastic faculty member and one of our administrative leaders. Dr. Martha Thomas is the Despy Carlos Professor of Piano. And she is also the Associate Director for Undergraduate Studies. So she's kind of one of your go-to people for questions about, you know, undergraduate, navigating the undergraduate experience, you know, registering and degree plans and pathways and all of that. So Dr. Thomas is going to join us and talk a little bit about practice rooms in the building.
Hi, everybody. So glad to see you today. So for practice rooms, probably many of you, when you came to audition last year, actually warmed up in one of our practice rooms. So you know what size they are. If you didn't get to do that, just realize that practice rooms are fairly small, which means that we're concerned about the air exchange. So because of that, we have some rules and protocols in place. All the practice rooms, we have more than 60 in the building, but all of those rooms are going to be scheduled and reserved. And the schedule is going to be like this. 60 minutes for practicing, you'll be reserving a 60-minute slot, and then 90 minutes to allow time for multiple air exchanges to happen in the room so it's safe to go back in, and then the next 60 minutes would be scheduled, etc. And as Dr. Pollard said, you're going to need to bring your own music stand. And this will mean that you'll be touching fewer surfaces. Everybody will be touching fewer surfaces, shared surfaces in the rooms. We're asking that everybody wipe surfaces upon entering and exiting. So this applies to the practice rooms. And obviously, it's probably clear to you now that all the times for practicing are going to be limited or extremely limited. And we're going to give priority to those students who can't practice anywhere else. And we're just asking everybody to remember to try to keep our practice rooms safe so that we can all use them safely. And next, I'm going to talk about just general use of the building. Some of these items have already been mentioned, but this is just a maybe refresher course. As I think Dr. Jutra said, we're going to be having, there's a requirement to keep the masks on at all times. So if you're a piano student for a piano professor, so thinking about piano, let's just say you're a piano student, you're going to have a lesson, you're going to have your mask on during the lesson, and so is your professor. Like Dr. Paula reminded us, even if you're having a lesson on a brass or a wind instrument or a voice lesson, you're going to have your mask on except when you're playing or singing, and same for your teacher. We want to remember to sanitize our hands frequently, wash your hands frequently, and also keep our social distance. The university is doing a lot for us during this pandemic situation, and they are providing wipes and sanitizers. So we will have those in the building. All of your meetings, if you're scheduled to meet with a professor, you have an advising appointment with our music advisor, Molly Stanley, etc., all of those will be held online. So not in person. And if you have a question for one of your professors, you have a question for one of our staff members, remember to email or call first. Rather than going online and knocking on the door is not going to be the way to operate right now. And unfortunately, there's really not going to be any hanging out in the building. I know that's one of the fun things about being in the music school, being a music student. You have a home, right? A home in the music school. But we can't allow hanging out in the building right now because of the pandemic. We need to socially distance. And so it's not going to be working for faculty or staff or students. And we have new building hours that will be in place. So for those of you who've been around the music building before, you probably know what our old hours were. But now it's going to be closing at 9:30 p.m. on weekdays. And closed to the general public on Saturdays and Sundays. There probably will be, or there may be, some lessons scheduled on Saturdays and Sundays and some practice times scheduled on Saturdays and Sundays, but otherwise closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Thomas. I want to introduce another fantastic member of our staff. Molly Stanley is our undergraduate advisor extraordinaire, and she's going to be a very important resource to you as you navigate through this degree. You may have already received some communications from her, but she's going to help you with your schedule and registering for courses and making sure that you get all the courses you need. And so she's going to join us to talk about some issues relating to her office.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to see all of your faces again. For those of you who have not yet been advised this summer for the fall semester, please complete the online orientation modules as soon as possible, because that's the process that will get you rolling with scheduling an advising appointment, etc. Advising for spring 2021, hard to believe we're kind of even saying that, but they will begin no later than the first week of September. And as was mentioned before, all appointments will be done virtually using Zoom or phone. So you and I will communicate about that. You will sign up for an appointment in Sage. So if some of you haven't logged into Sage yet, that's fine, but just know that that's the system that we use to schedule all advising appointments. Walk-in hours will also be on Zoom using my personal meeting room. And that will probably happen several times a week. I'll just have times that are going to be posted where you can walk in to my personal meeting room on Zoom and we can chat. You will receive all of these details from me in an email, so don't worry, we'll get you all that information. Regarding scheduling, because of the extra 5 minutes between your classes, your schedule may require a bit more thought and preparation than normal. You'll likely have a combination of in-person and virtual meetings that could potentially be back-to-back. And keep in mind that the new class times are not loaded into Athena, so you'll be responsible for adjusting your own schedule according to those 5 extra minutes between each class change. And also remember that it's going to generally be safer to walk or bike than to ride the bus. So try to do that when possible and plan accordingly. Regarding DRC accommodations, DRC stands for the Disability Resource Center. If you have a pre-existing condition or are in a high-risk category for the coronavirus, that will require you to take all online coursework. You need to apply for accommodations with the DRC as soon as possible, and I will put a link to that website in the chat. Next, I want to let you know about something called Performer's Pantry. Performer's Pantry is a small food pantry housed in the School of Music. It is a resource for students who may be experiencing food insecurity or financial hardship, students who don't have a meal plan, or students who are unable to get to the grocery store at this time. We often have items such as canned goods, pasta, rice, yogurt, granola bars, etc. So please know to use this resource when you need it. The pantry is located outside of my office on the 3rd floor, and it will be open every weekday. So obviously we don't want you congregating in there. It's not going to be a hangout spot, but if you need to use that resource, feel free to come by and grab what you need. It just all sits out and is free for you to take. Regarding student resources, UGA has a huge amount of campus resources that are available to you for free. The DAE is the Division of Academic Enhancement. They offer academic coaching and tutoring. We also have a writing center. There are multiple mental health clinics, general health and wellness resources, and the list goes on and on. So if at any point you feel like you're starting to fall behind academically, or you're struggling physically or emotionally, please reach out to me and or your professors so that we can help support you and get you connected to the resources that are available. Couple more things I wanted to mention. This next one is about our first year care initiative. So I wanted to let you all know that we have an actual first year care committee that is made up of 10 faculty and staff members who are designated to helping your first year as a music major go as smoothly as possible. So in September, we are going to begin a series of first year colloquium seminars that will be held during Common Hour on Wednesdays. All first year students will be placed into groups and attend different seminar topics each week for about 5 weeks. Some of these seminars will be held on Zoom, and some of them will be face-to-face in small groups, if we can do so at that point. So I just wanted to let you all know about that. You will receive an email with a schedule and just more information about that in the coming weeks. And then lastly, please just, I know we've already mentioned this, but stay on top of your UGA email. It is more important now than ever to read your emails really carefully and to respond when necessary. So most of the information that you are going to need will come through your email, and a lot of it will be covered there. So make sure you're reading everything really thoroughly so that you don't ask questions and send extra emails when that is not necessary. So again, it's great to see you guys. We're glad you're here. And now I'll turn it back over to Dr. Jutris for some information on our micro market.
Thank you, Molly. And I just want to add about your email. Any official communication, we are required to use your UGA email for that, not a Gmail or a Hotmail or a Yahoo Mail or something like that. So it is really important that you check that account regularly. A lot of students will forward that to their other account. That's fine if you want to do that, but make sure you have a way to stay on top of that UGA email. I know a lot of you are new, so you may not be aware of this, but for years, we've had challenges in our building with not very much food available, and music majors work hard and they're in the building a lot. And I just wanted to share with you a piece of good news. When classes start in the fall, we expect to have a brand new micro market in the second floor, and it's going to have a lot of different options. They tell me there are going to be some salads and wraps and prepared sandwiches and things like that. There's going to be a microwave. There's going to be hot coffee. There's going to be a variety of beverages and healthy beverages that you can buy that go way beyond kind of a standard vending machine. And it's all self-serve. You select your items and pay at a kiosk. So it's going to be open whenever you're in the building. So if you're there late at night for a lesson, you'll be able to use it. So we hope that's an important resource that will help keep you all sane and healthy. So I just kind of want to wrap up by reminding you that we really need your help to get through this. And this starts with just being patient and flexible with everyone. Nobody wants to be in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody wants to have to put our ensembles online. Nobody wants to have to limit use of the practice room, but we do want to keep everyone in our family. And I do believe very much that we are a family and you're a part of that family, safe and healthy. And we want to get through this so we can get back to normal sooner rather than later. So we are working on this as we go. We wish we had the answers to everything right now, but we just don't. So be patient and flexible with us, be patient and flexible with your faculty. They are working incredibly hard. Be patient and flexible with each other. And we wanna extend the same grace to you and be patient with your situation, because we know that we're all stressed about this and it's a lot to process for everyone. A lot of these safety guidelines are designed not just for you, but for everyone else in the building. And I know, and I hope you don't, I hope you understand why this can be dangerous. I know there's a thought of, well, you know, young people aren't that affected by the virus. It's not such a big deal. Well, there are a lot of people that work in our building, wonderful people that are older and are at much more risk. So do your part to help keep them safe and keep everyone in the building safe. To me, this is, you know, kind of a fundamental tenet of being a good person, but just think about people around you with all of your actions. Be responsible in the building. We're gonna count on you to honor those practice times. And, you know, when your 60 minutes is up, you need to leave. I know you wanna hang out for another 20 minutes and keep working on that etude, but that makes it unsafe for the next person. And if we don't all work to follow these rules that we've worked really hard to set up, then it all falls apart. So we just need you to do your part. You know, keep things clean and safe, wipe things that you touch. There's gonna be wipes everywhere in the building. You won't be able to walk, you know, more than 15 feet without running into a wipe station in most places. So those will be provided for you. Go ahead and use them. Another thing that, you know, the doctors and the experts have impressed upon me is if we all just act as if we have the virus and we don't want to transmit it to anyone else, that's a great strategy for really stopping this and containing the spread. And of course, we know that many people can have the virus and never have a symptom. So we all need to behave as if we have the virus and just do our part to keep our masks on, keep our distance, and get through this thing. I know it's very, very painful to say no hanging out in the building. Hopefully this is temporary and we'll get back to normal. I know we all loved hanging out in the band room and the choir room in high school and middle school. It's part of what we do as musicians, but for now, just come to the building when you have a class, when you have a lesson, when you have a scheduled practice time. We are well aware that this creates challenges for, well, where do I go in between things? And I wish I had great answers for that. It's a problem we're aware of campus-wide. I do know that UGA is trying to work on identifying some spaces where students will be able to go, but just we need to keep groups down and we can't congregate. So for now, just come to the building when necessary. We are keeping a lot of community guests out of the building, so we're limiting the building this fall to just our own students and faculty and staff, again, in an effort to keep everyone safe and keep everyone healthy. And I'm not gonna lie to you and say, you know, this is all gonna be wonderful this fall. Again, this is not where we wanna be, but I think there are opportunities even in crises, and we are gonna try some creative things, you know, to maybe help students work a little more on music technology or explore some other topics that they wouldn't in a normal semester. And if you have creative ideas of things we could be doing, you know, share them with us. I always want to hear from students and listen to student opinions. And our faculty are working really hard to come up with creative and productive solutions that will make this semester a good semester. It's not going to be a normal semester. I'm not going to pretend that it is, but we want to make the most of it. We want to have these lessons and recitals go forward, recognizing that that's much better than nothing, even if it's not ideal. And we just want to see what we can do. So with that in mind, I think I will stop sharing my screen. And Dr. Frigo is going to help moderate the questions, and we'll try to answer them as best we can.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Jutras, and thanks for all the great questions in the chat. As we go through this and you have more questions, feel free to keep adding them in. So I'm going to batch three of the questions throughout the chat that deal with the practicing room situation, because I know many students are very eager to address this. The first question is, are we allowed to practice in our dorms?
So that's a great question. And we are looking into that. And I'll be honest, I hope I'm not sharing too much information here. We actually started to think about talking to the people that run the dorms about permission for this. And a lot of our current students said, yeah, we practice in the dorms and it's really not a problem and not a big deal. As long as you're within, I believe most dorms have kind of noise rules, you know, at a certain time at night, everybody should be on the quiet side. So we are asking our current students if that's really true. And if that's true, we might kind of just leave that alone. If it's not true, we're gonna talk to the housing folks and see if we can get some kind of permission for that. We do wanna see if that's possible, because we do, even though we have to limit our spaces for safety, we wanna try and find any solution we can to help you practice. We know that's important.
Related to that, for virtual lessons, what if dorm contracts say playing instruments is not allowed?
So we'll keep looking into that. I'm not aware that a contract says that, but I'm not an expert in dorm contracts. So if one of you has seen that in your contract, let me know, and that'll help us ask the right questions of the right people. If you don't have a place to do your virtual lesson, we are considering some options in the building. I can't promise those will work, and it might kind of depend on the studio, but we'll try to work with you to find a solution. We're not going to leave you without an option for your lessons.
Thank you. Next question related to practicing. How do we register for a practice room?
So that's a work in progress. Give us a couple weeks and we'll roll out a plan for reservations. And again, we're going to have to prioritize people that can't practice at home, whose instruments are here in the building, and can't leave the building. So But we right now we're working on an inventory of all the practice rooms and building a schedule. And once that's done, then we're going to roll out a reservation process. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, where are we expected to go during hybrid classes if we don't live on campus and aren't scheduled to be in class that day?
And that's, I mean, I'll be honest, I wish I had great answers for that. This is one of the big puzzles that everyone is working on, and this is going to be an issue all across campus. Like I said, right now we're in touch with an office that's trying to identify spaces where students can go, and we're trying to encourage them to identify some space close to our building here on what we call the East Campus portion of campus. This is not going to work perfectly. We have 500 students and we have by far the most complex schedule of any department on campus. You may have roommates from another discipline that have, you know, three or four classes, and music majors have, I don't know, dozens of classes, maybe not literally dozens, but we have lots of little this and little that and things all the time. We will probably make some efforts to try and encourage the hybrid classes to maybe do last names, you know, the first half of the alphabet in the early part of the week is in person, and the later half of the alphabet is in the later part of the week in person, something like that, in the hopes that that can catch some of these problems. And maybe if you have two hybrid classes, you get them both on the same day and you're not coming in for one class. But we have to acknowledge that that's probably not going to work perfectly. We're going to try and do what we can to make this work. And this is where we're going to need some patience from everyone as well. I would love to say, let's all just hang out in the second floor lounge and do your classes there. But then it's not safe. So we're struggling with that.
Okay, is it possible that vocalists will have trio and or quartet opportunities throughout the semester?
So maybe, I wouldn't count on a lot of that. And the main reason is space concerns. So any singing will have to take place in very large spaces, and we do not have a lot of those. And we need to prioritize your private lessons to make sure those can happen first, because obviously we don't want people to not have private lessons. Under our guidelines, singing two or three people or even four people can happen. You'd have to stay 20 feet apart. You'd have to limit it to 30 minutes, and the room would have to air out for an hour after you're done. So it's possible. I'm just worried that once we schedule the lessons, there's not going to be lots of time available in those spaces to rehearse that way. You may be able to rehearse outside. You know, there may be options to do that when those spaces are available.
Okay, thank you. We had a little bit of correspondence in the chat about this, but it's worth repeating to anyone who may wish to apply to receive instruction fully online this semester. Can you go over the accommodation process if there are students wishing to apply?
Sure. So, someone can help me out and post a link in the chat before we're done, or if not, we'll send it to you.
But it's posted in there.
Oh, great, great, great. The DRC is our Disability Resource Center, and they're handling the accommodation process. There's an application. If you're considering that, I would encourage you to apply as soon as possible, because I understand that process takes some time. They would normally handle things like, let's say you have a learning challenge and you require a little extra time on exams. The DRC normally handles accommodations like that. So even though, you know, COVID is not a disability or a learning challenge, that's going to be kind of the clearinghouse for students that want to apply to go fully online. I do want to note, we said it earlier, that if you would like your private lessons to be fully online, we can handle that internally in the School of Music. You just let your applied professor know, and we'll take care of that. I don't want to put anyone in a situation where they feel uncomfortable. I will say that all these guidelines and the spacing and the time limits and the large spaces, with all the research that we've looked at, I feel confident that things are quite safe under those conditions. I mean, that's why those conditions are there, to really mitigate the risk. But if you don't feel comfortable and you want to do your lessons online, that's totally fine. The DRC accommodation would be to do everything online. And that would include your English class or your math class, things outside of the music building.
Thank you. How do we adjust classes that don't fit in the standard periods on the daily class schedule link?
So I think that question is about classes that might take up two. We do have some longer classes and rehearsals at time that take up two blocks. With the new class start times, we'll look at all that, and you'll eventually, it's not in the system now, so please understand that. And someone might correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure the new start times are even in the Athena system right now. The schedule is posted. I think UGA is working on that. We'll make it very clear through the advisors when things are meeting and when they will start and end. If you have a question about something specific, just write to your advisor, or if you know the professor of that class, and we'll figure it out for you.
Okay, thank you. Back to practice rooms. Is there a specific group that has priority to the practice rooms?
So I hope you understand, it's not always easy to answer questions when you don't have all the answers, but we're trying. This is another work in progress. Obviously, pianists and percussionists who have to be here in the building for their instruments, we will start with those. Then I think, and again, it's a work in progress, we're going to look at large instruments that are not easily transported, and that may, you know, a student can't just carry the tuba around between all their classes. We probably will, and I know this is hard to hear for first year students, but we probably will have to extend some priority to graduate students and those students doing degree recitals. Nobody wants to limit practice room access, but it's just what we've got to do right now. We are, you know, I said we want to extend you that patience and flexibility, so we will understand that you're not able to practice as much as you normally would, and that conditions aren't ideal.
Okay, there was a suggestion made that if you could briefly describe Common Hour. There's a question related to Common Hour, but it may be a new concept to our incoming students.
Right, so here at the Hugh Hodgson School of Music, we have a Common Hour, and it happens on Wednesday afternoons. And it's a time where we don't schedule any other classes or lessons or activities in the music building. So everyone's schedule is free. And in normal times, we would all get together, often in our large auditorium, and there would be presentations on various topics of interest, maybe now and then a performance. Last year, we had a Common Hour with Doc Severinsen from the Tonight Show band. If any of you, you may not know who that is, but your parents probably do, one of the world's greatest trumpet players. We had the Melodica Men, who you may have heard of or seen on YouTube. They have millions of followers. They came and did a Common Hour that was fantastic. So that's gonna happen every week this year. Obviously we can't get together in person in the auditorium, but it's going to be online, and we hope everyone still participates. We're going to have some great guests. You know, because it's virtual, it's actually going to be easier for us to bring some guests in, because they don't have to fly and have a hotel and all that. We are also hoping that this year some of the Common Hours will be just informal student performances. So if you're working on a piece and you would like to play in a low stakes environment, you can get on a Common Hour program and try out your piece, which might be great, you know, preparation for your recital or your jury or something like that.
Okay, thank you. So related to Common Hour, what should we do in the event we have a conflict between Common Hour seminars?
So there shouldn't be a conflict with anything in the School of Music because we don't schedule anything. Is the, I'm assuming maybe the question is another class, like
I'm wondering
biology or something. Molly, do you have any thoughts on that that you would want to jump in on?
The only thing I will mention is if you're confused about like whether you're going to attend the freshman colloquium versus other common hour events, I don't know if that's what they're referring to. But in that case, we're probably, and Dr. Chutris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but for these first 5 weeks or for the 5 weeks that we have the freshman events, I'm assuming that they will come to the freshman ones. And then after that, they'll attend the school-wide common hour.
Yes, and thanks for reminding me of that because I wasn't thinking about that conflict. So yes, if as first year students, we do want to set aside a few specific common hours for you. I think these are going to be really valuable. They're going to help give you some really good understanding on how to be a music major and how to be successful. This is a fairly unique world that we occupy. We're not like most departments on campus. So you will attend those. The beauty of it this year is because the other common hours are going to be virtual, it's our intent to record those, and you'll still be able to watch the other common hours and get that content. So if we have a great guest during one of the freshman common hours, you'll kind of be able to do both. You'll go to the first year one and attend that, and then you can watch the other one later.
Okay, that answered her question. Thank you. If the practice room maximum time is 1 hour, will there still be a way for students who need it to safely practice multiple hours a day?
It really depends on scheduling. And you know, right now we just don't know how many people are going to sign up or what the demand is going to be like. In normal times, our practice rooms are first come, first serve for the most part. They're unlocked. Students just, you come, you find an open room, you practice. So we don't actually know, we don't have a lot of data about what the demand will be. If the space is available and people can sign up for multiple times, that's fine with me. I just wouldn't count on that space being available. I expect the times are going to be limited and they're going to fill up pretty quickly.
Okay, thank you. Can you address the updated information about our ensemble auditions? There's a question related to ensemble auditions, and
yes,
to hear.
So this is information that's just rolling out to our faculty over the last 24 hours or so, and you'll probably hear more about it. In normal times, everyone would do an audition when they arrive on campus to be placed in the proper ensemble. We're not going to do any of those auditions live. Because the ensembles are online, we're actually not requiring any auditions for ensemble placement. However, many of our applied faculty will still do them in their studios just because they're valuable. It's valuable experience to learn certain excerpts and go through the process and kind of feel what it feels like to, you know, to go through that audition. So it's up to each applied professor whether they hold auditions or not. If they do hold them, they're going to be more of a, you know, kind of a pedagogical exercise than for actual ensemble placement. And if they do hold them, they'll be virtual. So it'd be something you'd either do over a stream or submit a recording. So be in touch with your applied professor about that. You might want to wait a few days. Again, since we just rolled out that decision yesterday, you know, give them a little space to decide what they want to do. They may be in touch with you soon about that.
Yes, there was another question on is there information yet about auditions, times, dates, et cetera? So the latest information is to be in touch with your applied professor if they have not reached out to you.
Yeah, and again, we would normally have kind of a school-wide time for this, but since it's going to be studio by studio, then the dates and times will just depend on each studio. And some studios may decide not to have auditions. They're going to have that choice.
Okay. Well, this is, let's just ask this because it's somewhat related. Will those who have earlier move-in dates have access to reserved practice room times before the semester starts on August 20th?
So that's a good question. Forgive me, I have to say right now, I don't know. We still have some work to do to get the practice rooms ready and get all of this in place so they're safe. And right now, I'm not sure if that's going to be done before classes start or not. If it is and they're available and we've got the system in place, we'll let people sign up. Might even be kind of a pilot program or something. But I can't promise that yet. We just kind of have to wait and see.
Okay. I just put into the chat a link you will find very helpful, which is a new page within the School of Music website that gives COVID-19 and fall operations details. This webpage will continue to be built out with updated information going on there whenever it needs to be updated. So please reference that link, share it with your families. It will contain so much important information, and all of which we went over today in the meeting. So, and then more. another question came in, Dr. Dutras. In the fifth floor piano practice rooms, where wind, brass, voice usually do not practice, will there still be a 90-minute vacant period between students?
Yes. And that's just because of the limited air exchange in those rooms. So when we're in, you know, and I don't want everybody to get, you know, nervous that practice rooms are totally unsafe. We're doing that air exchange to make them safe. But, you know, trust me, another thing I've learned a lot about this summer that I never thought I would learn about is HVAC systems and rates of air exchange and filtration. And the practice rooms were never designed for robust air exchange. The band hall, the orchestra hall, the big spaces are. And so that's the reason for the time limits there. Again, if the virus numbers go down significantly, if we get more research that shows, you know, we can do A, B, or C without a whole lot of risk, then we may modify these conditions. But for now, that's what's going to be in place.
Okay, well, that wraps up all of the questions. So.
Great. I did think of one more question that has come up with ensembles and auditions. You may wonder, what ensemble should I register for, since we have multiple bands and multiple choirs and they're going to be online? Just stay tuned on that question. The ensemble directors are going to roll out a plan for that, and you'll get instructions on how to choose and which one to register for soon.
Dr. Dutras, do you want to address anything about lockers in the School of Music?
Sure. And that's another thing, you know, we're working on. It's on the list of 739 questions to be answered. Normal times, we have lots of lockers and we make them available to students. You pay a small fee to rent them. I think we will make some lockers available. This is just kind of doing your part and being responsible. I'm not sure if we're going to restrict or prioritize those, or if I'm just going to ask people to think very carefully about whether or not you really need a locker. And if you don't, maybe hold off on getting a locker this semester. And keep in mind that you shouldn't be in the building when you're not supposed to be in the building. I mean, so your time in the building is going to be much lower than it normally would. I know you've never been here before, so you don't know what normal is, but if you're only going to be able to practice a couple times and a lot of your classes are online, do you really need a locker? Just because those are places where people will congregate and that's a lot of shared touch surfaces. So we'll make them available to students that need them, but we'll probably try to limit or encourage you all to limit their use.
Molly, did you have something you wanted to add?
I was just wondering, I know there was an email sent out about lockers in the last 24 hours. I wasn't sure if the new students got that or not. Can y'all just give me a thumbs up or down? Did y'all get anything? No.
Thumbs down.
So we'll need to just make sure that we send that information out to all of them as well.
Great, thank you. One more question. Should we still pay the concert attendance fee if we haven't already?
No, you should not. We're waiving that fee because, again, that's normally you would be required to attend 15 concerts in person a semester as a music major, and the fee pays for the card and the attendance tracking that we use for that, and we're waiving all of that this semester. If you have paid it, that will be refunded. That may take a little while. If you haven't paid it, don't pay it. I believe we've taken the option to pay it down from our website, but I'll check on that just to be sure.
Okay, that completes the questions.
All right, well, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to all of this. And again, I know it's not perfect, but we are working on it as hard as we can, and we will figure this out. You know, and in everything we're trying to figure out, we are keeping you in mind and trying to do what we can to make this a good experience for you. I appreciate your help with that. I appreciate you taking care and doing your part to keep others safe and understanding why we're doing this. And I know a lot of this is stuff you don't want to hear about limiting practice rooms and limiting lessons, but hopefully it's temporary, and hopefully by doing this, we get back to normal sooner. This is a great place to be. I'm always incredibly proud of our students and our faculty and our staff. I think it's a very unique and fun place on campus. And even if we're limited in how we can be together physically, we're still gonna make it as fun as we can this semester. We're still going to make music, and we're going to get music out to the public, and we're going to do what we do. So thank you all. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you soon.